Fallout Equestria Starlight, Chapter 31, The Forest of Death. I'm heading to the Everfree Forest to the Kuras to get some of my favorite tea. Deception, dishonesty, lies. I feel as though my whole life has been one fantastic lie piled atop another. Every waking moment is painful, my thoughts filled with a life that is not my own. The closer I come to finding Spark, the closer I come to losing myself, to becoming one with Twilight's memories. I often wonder about the lies Twilight told to her friends, her family, and the world to get what she wanted. Twilight hid the existence of Spark, believing that she alone could handle her. In the end, all Twilight succeeded in doing was sealing Spark away. She refused to believe in the one thing that could have helped her save Spark. Friendship. I see now the virtues that represent true harmony. Honesty, kindness, generosity, loyalty, and laughter. The virtues that gave the Ministry Mayor their power now bolster my confidence, my strengths. I must move forward. I must keep to the task ahead. For if I falter, life as we know it will end.
The Everfree Forest,
Spot said, raising an eyebrow. Avira set off to the side, several old books placed out on the table. Nixie stood next to me, staring down at the other hellhound, but occasionally sending glances at the female canine. I nodded.
Yes, we are going into the Everfree, I said. We would appreciate any supplies you can provide.
Spot grimaced, his teeth showing. Avira had called Nixie and the other hellhound into the library after our initial talk. Our other friends had to be shown to some place where they could rest until we left for the forest.
This madness, pony. Hounds don't go into that place that often. Bad things in Everfree, pony.
Spot snarled.
Even Nixie's smart enough to know this.
I narrowed my gaze at him.
Regardless, we're going. I have something that needs to be done there, I said. Now, are you going to help us or not?
Spot,
Avira said, glancing between the two male hellhounds.
We owe this mare a debt. She brought Nixie's back safe after all.
Spot barked at her, making me jump just a tad. Avira didn't budge a single inch, apparently used to this kind of behavior.
They're still crazy, Elder,
he snapped before sighing loudly. He looked back at me.
Fine. We give food, some medicine. Dogs will take you down safe paths leading to forest.
I smiled softly.
Thank you, Spot, Avira. We will pay you, of course, I said, floating out a jingling bag of caps.
Avira shook her head.
No payment we can accept from you, friend, she said. Spot, see to it that the supplies are made ready for our new friends when they are ready to leave.
Spot grunted, brushing past Nixie's to leave the library. Avira stood, causing Nixie's to tear his gaze away from the door to her.
Avira,
my friend said.
It's good to see you again.
The female canine smiled toothily.
Hello, Nixie's, she said. It is good to see you too. I see that you are doing well.
Nixie's grinned and placed a paw on the back of his head. My eyes widened.
Wait, is he... he's flirting,
I thought. I nearly smiled at the thought.
So, Avira, you old dog, you Nixies.
I am. I see they made you the leader of the town after I left,
he replied. Avira nodded.
It has been quite a long time since then, she said. I feared that you would never return to us.
I feared the same,
Nixies said. I blinked. It was like watching two awkward teenagers work up the courage to admit their true feelings. I decided that maybe I should step out of the equation for now and let the two catch up.
I'm going to check on the others,
I interjected, smiling softly before turning to Avira.
Again, thank you for your help.
I bowed slightly to the female hellhound and trotted out the door to the library, leaving Nixies alone with Avira. As I did, I noticed the two become a little more relaxed. Everyone deserved a chance at a little happiness, and by Luna I was going to make sure that Nixie's got a shot. With nothing better to do, I opted to head over to where they had put the others up. Carousel Boutique, despite the ages of time and a long history of raider occupation, still stood at the far edge of the town. I trotted up to the old building, admiring just how much work the Ministry Mayor of Image had put into her livelihood. Pushing open the door, I found the others inside in the main room. The Hellhounds of Ponyville hadn't really been using the boutique for anything and had allowed us to stay there until we were ready to leave. Violet looked up as I entered and smiled.
"Hey, we are just getting everything set up to camp," she said. "How'd things go with Avira?" "Good, they're going to give us some food and medicine to start and a few dogs to take us down the path into the forest," I said.
Violet nodded. I looked over at Patch, who was resting against the counter at the end of the room. Steeljack towered next to her, keeping an ever-vigilant watch over his pregnant mare. Lilith and Sunshine lay nearby, snoozing quietly. My eyes nearly bulged out of my sky, however, when I realized just how pregnant Patch was. Despite the fact that it only had been a day or two since leaving Manhattan, my friend's belly appeared much larger than it had been before. Violet caught my stare and dragged me down to eye level.
"I know what you're thinking," she said quietly. "She's getting bigger and fast. Star, I don't think she should go into that forest."
I grimaced.
"You're right, she shouldn't, but do you think that's going to stop her?"
I said.
"She'll come after us anyways if we just leave her here. She's determined to prove herself."
"All she's going to prove is getting her foals killed. What the hell is going on, Star?" Violet hissed.
"Why is she like this already? I thought she was only supposed to be a few months along." "Dr. Rod said that the radiation may have accelerated the process overall," I said, casting another glance at the pregnant mare. "But he never said it would be this fast," I sighed. "We're going to have to tell Steeljack."
"Forget him, we're going to have to tell Patch," Violet replied. I nodded.
"Yes, but if Steeljack agrees to leave her here, then she'll stay," I said.
I motioned a hoof, catching Steeljack's attention. The stallion nodded, making his way over to where Violet and I were sitting.
"Star,"
he said softly. I motioned for him to sit.
"Steeljack,"
I began,
"we've got a problem."
"It's Patch, isn't it?"
the Earth Pony said, narrowing his blue eyes at me. I nodded.
"I figured this would come up sooner or later. You think she should stay here?"
"We do," I said. "For her own safety as well as the foals. This is unnatural, Steeljack. She shouldn't be this pregnant, but if Dr. Rod is right and the radiation accelerated it, then there's no telling what's next. How long before she can't even walk?"
Steeljack looked over at his sleeping mare friend, sighing.
"You're right,"
he finally said.
"She's been getting bigger since we left Manhattan. She'd be a sitting duck out there in the Everfree. I don't want that."
I nodded.
"How do we want to do this?" I asked. "We need to be upfront with her, let her know what's really at stake here if she comes."
Steeljack grimaced but shook his head.
"I'll tell her, alone,"
he said.
"It needs to come from me. She may not like me for it, but she'll understand."
"Then I will speak to Avira," I said. "See if she can offer any assistance in taking care of her until we return from the Everfree."
"If we return,"
Steeljack said, his face stony and serious. I offered a small smile.
"We will return," I said. "And you will get to see your foals, my friend."
Steeljack nodded, walking over to where Patch was resting. I watched as he gently prodded her, smiling softly as she awoke. He spoke a few words and then they got up, leaving the building. I sat back on my haunches, feeling Violet nuzzle against me.
"It'll be all right," she said. "Patch is smart, she'll understand."
"You want me to what?"
a voice roared from outside of the boutique. Violet grimaced.
"Or not,"
she said. The door slammed open, revealing the Green Earth Pony mare herself. She stormed in, Steeljack hot on her hoofs. Lilith and Sunshine immediately woke at the sound of Patch's hooffalls.
"Star, this isn't fair,"
she protested.
"You can't just leave me here, not after all we've been through."
"What in the sorrel hells is going on here?"
Lilith said, wiping the sleep from her eyes with a fetlock.
"Who's leaving what where?"
"Steeljack thinks I should stay behind,"
Patch spat venomously.
Patch, please, Steeljack said. You have to listen.
Wait, what?
Lilith said, glancing up at me.
Why?
I grimaced and sighed, motioning at them to listen while I addressed Patch.
Look, Patch, you have to see that your body has changed greatly in just the past 2 days. Even if there isn't anything wrong with your pregnancy, Dr. Rod was right about one thing. Whatever happened has accelerated it unnaturally, I said. Who knows what you'll be like in the next 2 days, or the next 4 days, or the next week?
Patch glared at me angrily.
You don't think I know that? She said. But I made a promise, Star. I promised I'd help you through to the end. I aim to keep that promise.
Lilith placed a hoof on her friend's shoulder.
Sweetie, you've done more than enough, she said, her expression pained. Star's right. We don't even know how long we're going to be in the Everfree in the first place. What if you have the foals? You don't want to have them in the middle of a place like that. They wouldn't be able to survive.
Patch snarled under her breath.
You don't understand. I'm not invalid. I can fight. I can still shoot. I can...
The mare began to rant before Lilith grabbed her and brought her into a spine-crushing hug. Patch stopped and began to blabber, tears spilling forth.
Patch, Lilith said. We're just looking out for you and for the foals.
She cooed softly, using her hoof to rub the mare's back and shoulders.
You're a fighter, Patch, but right now, you need to fight for the two little ones growing inside you. They need you now, more than anything.
I smiled.
You see, it's not that we don't want you here or that we think any less of you, Patch,
I said as Lilith pulled out of the hug, leaving a very tear-stricken Patch in her place.
We appreciate everything you've done for all of us, but your safety and the safety of your foals is number one on the list and we need for you to understand that.
Patch stared at the ground, her tears dripping down from her cheek to the floor below. She nodded.
I know, she said. I'm sorry, you guys. It's hard, you know.
It is, I said. But you have to be strong, not just for us, but for them.
Patch nodded, turning to bury herself in Steeljack's embrace. The stallion hugged her close.
I'm sorry,
she murmured. Steeljack nodded and spoke softly.
It's all right, he said. Everything will be okay.
Patch pulled back, her one red eye and puffy.
Promise me, she said. Promise me that you're coming back.
Patch, I...
Steeljack started to say, but a glare from his laugh cut him off.
Promise,
she said simply. Steeljack gulped, but nodded all the same.
I promise, he said.
Patch pulled him into her space and hugged him fiercely. The green mare sighed and looked over at me. I smiled.
We should all rest. In the morning we will be leaving Ponyville and making our way into the Everfree, I said. I will go speak with Avira about accommodating Patch as well as securing the rest of our supplies.
I'll come with you, Violet said.
I nodded.
If you don't mind, Patch said. I'd like some time, you know, alone with Steely.
I smiled brightly.
Of course, I would expect no less. The back room should be clear, I said.
Pat grabbed onto her stallion and led him towards the room. I had to smile again because I knew just what they would be up to on their last night together for a while. A stray thought caught me as Violet and I made our way out of the boutique. Nixies and Avira, Steeljack and Pat, myself and Violet, Lilith, Sunshine. Every pony deserved a bit of happiness. Every pony deserved that chance because for good or for ill, as of the next day, we wouldn't have that chance. We wouldn't have that luxury. Discord may have been many things, but he was not wrong on one simple, fascinating point. Everfree was a dangerous place, perhaps the most dangerous place in all of the Equestrian Wasteland. And we were about to head right into the heart of the beast.
Are you sure about this?
I glanced down at Avira. The female hellhound stood on the path across from us. Everyone was loaded with supplies and ready to begin our journey into the forest. I nodded.
I'm sure, I said. This is something that we need to do. If we don't stop Spark, the consequences could be disastrous, not just for me, but for everyone.
Then I wish you good hunting in the wilds of Everfree,
Avira said. She looked down at Patch, who was standing away from her.
I will do my best to look after this one. Friends of Nixie's are friends to the Ponyville tribe.
Thank you, Avira,
I said, bowing my head as a sign of respect. The female canine nodded and moved to say her goodbyes to Nixie's while I walked over to the others. Lilith stood off to the side with Steeljack and Patch. The black mare grinned as she pulled her friend close into a hug.
Don't you go having those kids without me now, she said. I don't want to have to come running out of there to see them.
Patch giggled.
I'll try,
she said, her expression turning gravely serious.
You be careful out there, all right, Lilith?
Psh, you know me, Greenie,
Lilith said simply, a bright smile appearing on her face.
I'll be all right. I can handle myself.
Of that, I have no doubt,
I said, wrapping a wing over Patch.
We will all be fine. Once we find Spark and end this, then we will come right back here and then we can all go home.
I glanced over at Violet and Sunshine. The two mares were giggling at something.
And what are you two on about?
Violet grinned.
That,
she said, pointing over at Nixie's and Avira. The two hellhounds were speaking quietly, but it was clear that it was still rather awkward between the two. Their body language told me just enough to know that they hadn't yet managed to really open up.
It's like watching Equestria's most awkward first dates,
Sunshine said, chuckling. I raised an eyebrow.
What? I may have been born in Ten Pony, but my mom had a penchant for old equestrian programming.
I chuckled.
Well, I think I know how to solve this little problem,
I said, trotting past to the two. I stalked silently, waiting for the right moment to pounce. Grinning, I popped up next to the hellhounds.
Hey, Nixies, are you gonna get it over with and just kiss her already?
Nixie's eyes went wider than most balloons, and his face was as red as a tomato. Avira snickered.
I, he stammered.
I winked at Avira.
He's all yours, I said.
The female canine grinned toothily, grabbing a hold on my friend for a kiss. Pulling back, Nixie's gazed on dreamily.
I will miss you,
Avira said, smiling. Nixie's nodded.
And I love you. Be safe, Nixie's, and good hunting.
I love you too,
Nixie's replied. I coughed loudly, catching his attention.
I believe we are all ready to go then,
I said. The male hellhound nodded. I turned to where Spot and his three dogs were standing.
Spot, lead the way.
Spot grunted and started down the path leading into the forest. I followed behind him, Violet sticking closely to me. Steeljack and Sunshine walked behind them, with Lilith, Nixie's and the other three dogs taking up the rear. The woods around us teemed with the tiny noises of insects and wildlife. It was a place that felt more alive than any other part of Equestria I'd ever been to.
So, Spot, I said, catching the attention of the hellhound. You said that your hounds don't come in here that often.
Yes, Spot rumbled. Forest dangerous, deadly, things live here.
I see, I said. But this path is somewhat safe?
Spot grunted.
This path lead to old shaman dwelling, he said. It is as safe as rest of forest. We still be careful. We leave when we reach shaman place.
I grimaced but nodded as I continued to walk next to the hellhound. The trees soared above us, the canopy completely blotting out the sun. It was as if we had been transported into a different world altogether. The dirt beneath our hoofs was rough and rocky, the crude path extending deep into the woods. As we walked, my thoughts turned to the land around us. Everfree was a land untouched by the mega spells, its wild magic infused into everything around it. The entire land evolved completely unchecked. This fact alone became very clear as we continued our trek forward. Beyond the din of regular insect noises, loud crashing and roars could be heard in the far distance, giving us pause as we waited to see if the noises were getting any closer. More than once, I also thought I'd seen movement in the jungle-like trees, but after closer inspection, there was nothing. After what felt like hours, but was really only half an hour according to my pipback, we found ourselves in a small open clearing. In the center of it was an old wooden shack built into a tree that looked like it had seen far better days. The thing leaned horribly, and one of the walls had caved in on itself. Spot grunted and the other dogs stopped in their tracks.
"This as far as hounds go," he said. "From here, you on your own."
I nodded.
"Thank you again for bringing us this far," I said, bowing my head.
Spot grunted again, turning to leave. The other hounds turned away as well as the rest of my friends moved into the clearing.
"Jeez, this place is creepy,"
Lilith said to herself as she trotted forward to inspect the shack.
"Looks like no pony's been herein."
Her words died on her lips as a guttural roar sounded from the shack. Spot stopped, turning on a dime, his eyes widening.
"Pony, away!"
he shouted. Lilith moved, but not quickly enough. A pair of green eyes snapped open from the inside of the ruined shack and a claw arced out, catching the black mare and knocking her into a nearby tree with a loud crack. I snarled, pulling out Stargazer, ready to fire but unsure what I was exactly seeing. The shack groaned under the force of something large, and an eerie green glow surrounded pieces of wood that had broken off from it. They fell together, standing from a pile to form a vaguely canine-shaped monster. Its body was made of branches from the trees, and the wood from the shack served as its skeleton. It looked sickly and diseased. Its head reared up, and I suddenly realized that the thing was far larger than I originally had thought. Its eyes blazed with evil green fire.
"Timberwolf!"
Spot roared, leaping at the monster with reckless abandon, followed by his fellow dogs. He slashed wildly at the wooden beast. The timberwolf leapt back, grabbing onto Spot's arm with its vicious maw. I growled under my breath, trying to move to get a good shot in while the dogs fought with the creature. A yelp came from behind me, followed by another growl. I glanced back, seeing Violet and Sunshine contending with a second beast that had popped up from the tree line.
"This is a trap," I thought. "We need to get out of here. We're sitting ducks for these things."
I glanced about, looking for an exit. A path into the trees behind where the shack had been looked to be the most promising until another of the monsters appeared in front of it. The one fighting Spot snarled loudly as it clamped onto the hellhound's right arm once more and bit down hard. Spot howled in pain as the beast ripped away the appendage, tossing it aside like it was nothing.
"Spot!"
I shouted, lifting Stargazer again and dropping into ESATS. I targeted the beast's limbs, releasing the spell. The torrent of fire shot across the clearing, tearing through the timberwolf's forelegs and breaking them in half. The monster fell to the ground, roaring and snapping. It managed to catch one of the dogs, biting him across his midsection into two clean and very dead halves. Spot stumbled back as one of his other dogs lopped up and started pulling him to safety. I grimaced. The second of the monsters was currently trying to bite its way through a vine wall summoned by Sunshine Sky, as well as dodging Silver Flame from Thunderflash. Steeljack and Nixie stood side by side in front of a third timber wolf, the Earth Pony sending bullet after bullet into the wooden creature's head. It roared loudly, charging forward at them. I flapped my horn, casting a teleport spell over the two, bringing them closer to me as the beast slammed into the ground.
"We've got to get out of here,"
Steeljack called. I nodded as a black blur shot out from the tree line. Lilith snarled along with the bitch before a missile shot at the timberwolves that had knocked her back. The thing's head exploded in a mess of kindling and fire. Spot lay several feet away, clutching at the stump of his arm while the two remaining dogs formed over him for protection.
"See if you can delay the last one,"
I said to Lilith and Steeljack. The two nodded, bounding off into the chaos.
"Nixis, you and I will go help Violet and Sunshine so she can go look at Spot."
The hellhound leapt forward towards where the two mares were running from the wooden beast. Nixis roared, jumping into the air over them and landed on the monster's head. He began to slash and tear at it, keeping it distracted while I dropped back into ESATS. I queued up several shots at the monster's midsection and let loose, the bullets tearing through the air and piercing through its body like a hot butter knife. The monster howled, tossing Nixie's free from its head as it slumped to the ground. Another explosion from behind me indicated that the last timberwolf had been finally defeated. I scowled, surveying the damage. One dead dog and one more missing an arm. Violet was already next to him, her horn ablaze as she tried to stem the bleeding.
"This isn't good,"
she muttered, pulling out a healing potion out of her pack. Spot grunted as I made my way over to the group.
"No. Ponies must go, must get away, must—"
he started to say frantically, pushing away the potion. The other two dogs grunted as well as Spot howled in pain.
"Go, we take care of Spot. one of them snarled. Must leave this place now.
I'm not letting him die, Violet growled angrily. I'm not...
She looked down at the hellhound. He was no longer clutching his bleeding stump. His eyes had closed and there was no life left in his form. The other dogs grunted as Violet reached down and checked his pulse.
He's gone.
I laid a hoof on her shoulder.
There's nothing you could have done, I said.
The first dog growled under his breath.
Ponies must go, must get away, he repeated with a snarl. Dogs take care of Spot.
I glared at him and started to speak before being cut off by Nixies.
He's correct, Star. We must make haste out of this clearing, he said. Timberwolves are creatures of magic empowered by the wild forces of Everfree. They do not stay dead for very long.
Wait, do you mean?
Lilith said as we all looked back at the broken forms of the Timberwolves. A soft green glow surrounded each one as bits and pieces of each body began to soar through the air, floating in place. Each piece joined together with another, glowing brightly. A guttural roar silenced the clearing as two massive green eyes snapped open. I blinked. The freaking huge Timberwolf that had just formed stomped a ridiculously large paw on the wooden carcass of the others. It still had the same sickly look, its branches dead and brittle.
Run! I said, run!
I pointed at the far end of the clearing. We galloped forward, the dogs next to Spot latching onto their fallen comrade. They started off in the opposite direction, dragging the body along as the Timberwolf leapt into action. It completely ignored us as we charged past, heading towards the hellhounds. I didn't even have to hear the screams and crunching noises to know that the dogs hadn't been fast enough. We passed through the tree line, the branches and plants crunching beneath our frantic hoofs. A roar echoed behind us.
Which way?
Violet shouted. I ran about as I ran, the forest stretching out in all directions. There was no rhyme or reason to the layout. Absolutely everything looked the same. I grimaced, pointing forward.
Keep moving forward, I shouted. Let's see if we can lose it in the forest.
The trees behind us snapped into pieces as the Timberwolf shrugged through the tree line like it wasn't even there. My hoofs carried me forward, not even truly paying attention where I was going. I flared my horn, firing a blast of telekinesis at the brush ahead, blowing it into several pieces. Violet was right next to me every step of the way while the others thundered along behind us. The Timberwolf continued to roar as it broke through another line of trees. It was getting closer.
It's gaining on us!
Sunshine shouted. I grimaced. There was no way we were going to outrun this thing. It was far too fast. I needed to give it a distraction. I veered away from the others, stopping in my tracks.
You guys keep moving. I'm going to try and put up a shield.
I roared.
Star, you can't.
Violet called back. I lifted a hoof, the roar of the Timberwolf cutting off what I was going to say. It crashed through the final tree line, revealing itself in full. I snarled under my breath, flaring my horn and reaching into my mind for Shining Armor's shield spell. The purple barrier flared into existence just as the Timberwolf struck it. The shield held for a moment before shattering under the force of the blow.
Keep running!
I roared to the others. Thankfully, they listened and continued forward into the brush. The Timberwolf snarled, pawing at the ground beneath it. I grinned.
Hey, ugly, come and get me!
I threw up another shield spell and turned tail, charging through the tree line after my friends. My horn flared, sending up spell after spell to try and halt the beast's movements. Nothing I tried slowed it. I growled, frantically charging as the others came into sight. They were ahead of me, still moving. The forest didn't even seem to change as I pelted through the trees. Finally, as if by some inexplicable miracle or will of the forest itself, the tree line broke. Unfortunately for us, it broke into a cliff that veered sharply downward. I saw my friends fall as I hit the cliff myself, unable to stop from joining them. I grunted as I tumbled, bouncing and landing on my sides, shooting pain throughout my body. I heard the Timberwolf howl as it launched itself down the cliff after us. I hit the ground sharply, rolling across the forest floor. I landed on my back, gazing up in horror at the wooden monster about to devour us. I ignited my horn, firing a blast of telekinesis at the one place I could think of. The base of the mountain exploded with rocks and debris, blocking the Timberwolf's attack. The Timberwolf halted for a mere second before powering through the wall of debris. I grunted loudly as I felt myself yanked backwards. Before I knew it, I was being drawn into a cave entrance, the snapping jaws of the wolf nearly catching my tail. The beast pounded at the wall outside the cave, the bulk of the monster not allowing it to enter.
"Keep going!"
Violet called out, her green form appearing in my vision. She lifted Thunderflash in her magic, firing a blast of silver fire at the head of the wooden monster. It pulled back briefly before trying to fit into the mouth of the cave again. A rumbling noise sounded from above as several tons of rock began to pour down into the entrance of the cave, slamming onto the Timberwolf's massive head. I groaned, my vision hazy from the pain. My horns seared from the overuse of my shield spells. My eyes lolled into the back of my head and I lost consciousness.
"Star? Star, wake up!"
a voice said in the darkness. My eyes fluttered open, trying to adjust to the low level of light around me.
"What happened?"
I said. A soft green glow illuminated the area around me. It was a small cavern, dimly lit by glowing flowers dangling from a mesh of vines. The others were huddled around, nursing their own scrapes and bruises. Violet was hovering over me, a roll of bandages held in her magic.
"We escaped the Timberwolf,"
Violet said softly.
"At the bottom of the cliff was a cave. We think there's another way out because the entrance is collapsed."
She pointed at the far end of the clearing where a bunch of rocks blocked the entrance.
"I've tried my best to dig through, but the rock won't respond to me at all,"
Nixie said.
"There's a tunnel that extends deep into the mountain."
"I thought hellhounds could slash through anything,"
Lilith said. Nixie grinned toothily.
"While our claws are sharp, they do not grant our kind the ability to dig as well as we can,"
he said.
"We have an innate magic, much like how earth ponies can grow crops or pegasi can handle weather. We speak to the rock and it speaks to us in return. And this particular rock, it isn't talking back."
"Is everyone all right?"
I asked, pushing myself up into a sitting position.
"That cliff was a pretty big tumble."
"Mostly bruises and scrapes, but otherwise we're all right,"
Steeljack said. Sunshine grunted.
"Speak for yourself. I've got scrapes in places I didn't even know you could get them in,"
she said. Lilith chuckled softly.
"You're all lucky I can fly," she said. "Managed to get to the bottom of the cliffside intact."
I grimaced.
"We need to keep moving then," I said. "Find a way out of here."
"Star, we don't even know where here is," Violet said.
"We're lost in this place. We don't even know where we're going."
"We'll figure that out after we get the hell out of these tunnels," I said.
"The longer we wait, the more time Spark and the elements have."
"I agree with Star," Nixie said. "We should keep moving."
Violet sighed.
All right," she said. "But once we get back into the forest, we're making camp and figuring out a plan of attack."
I nodded, reaching into my saddlebags and pulling out the memory orbs that belonged to Twilight.
"This will help us with that," I said, earning myself a glare from Violet. "It's not what you think. Twilight is supposed to have enchanted this orb to act as a sort of tracking beacon for the other half of the chart. We find the chart, we can face Spark."
Violet nodded. She looked ragged and I realized that Spot's death had weighed pretty heavily on her. I placed the orb back into my bags, pushing myself back off the ground into a standing position. I nearly bumped my head on the roof of the cave. I turned to my love, smiling softly.
"Violet, I know you're thinking about what happened."
"Not now, Star,"
she hissed under her breath. I sighed.
"Sweetheart,"
I said. Violet glared at me again. I dropped the rest of what I was going to say. Violet would talk to me in time. She would have to.
"We'd better get going then,"
Violet said curtly, flaring her horn and casting a light spell. I nodded, doing the same. The cave walls lit up with a mixture of green and purple light, bathing them in a sickly-looking color. Regardless, it was light. The tunnel at the end of the cave extended deep beyond the range of our combined magic. I moved forward, walking down the tunnel cautiously. After the experience with the Timberwolves, I wasn't taking any chances. The tunnel was cramped, and I had to duck my head several times to keep from bumping my horn against the ceiling. It continued on for what felt like forever, but was really about 30 minutes according to my pipbuck. The tunnel finally broke, opening up into a large underground cavern. Massive crystals embedded in the rock above us gave off a soft light that covered the entire area. The cavern was tiered in nature, with platforms leading all the way up to the top of the ceiling. A glinting and gleaming waterfall poured out from the rock at the far end, spilling down into a serene-looking pool below.
"Wow," Lilith said. "You said it," Sunshine said, whistling under her breath. "What the hell is this place?" "I don't know," I said. "But we need to move forward. The tunnels up near the top of the cavern should be our first priority. Let's be cautious and find a way up there."
I pointed up at the ledges leading up towards an exit out of the area. Several other tunnels dotted the sides of the walls, leading only Celestia knew where. We started moving, my eyes drifting back and forth from the holes in the walls and the pool of water. The waterfall provided a gentle rhythm to the area that was highly soothing. We were all aching, and a dip into the water sounded quite good. My curiosity getting the better of me, I started over towards the water's edge. A curious structure caught my eye sitting next to the pool. The others were moving along, looking for a way to climb up to the next level. Lilith soared overhead, stretching her wings and keeping an eye out. The structure grew closer in size as I neared, and I realized it was a shack made out of rocks and woods. I cocked my head to the side in confusion.
"Hey, you guys, look at this,"
I called out, pointing at the little shack.
"Looks like some pony was living here."
Nixie slopped over along with Steeljack, while Sunshine and Violet appeared to be fashioning some sort of climbing rope out of Sunshine's vine spell. Lilith stood at the top of the next platform as I threw it up to her. I stepped over to the entrance of the tiny shack, the doorway much too small for me to even fit through. I flared my horn, lighting up the interior. It was a single-room shack with two tiny beds and a shelf. Laying in the center of it was a small skeleton, its hoofs clutching a book. I grimaced, using my magic to lift out the book.
"Skeleton looks a bit too small to be fully grown," Steeljack said.
I looked over at him, nodding as I showed him the book. Crudely carved onto the front of it were the words, "Property of Chippertune. Do not touch. That means you, Sunbright."
"It's a diary," I said. "This poor little pony, he was down here all by himself."
I turned it over, flipping it open to one of the more recent entries in the diary. My eyes scanned the words on the page. They were difficult to read, as if they were written by mouth instead of by magic. "Dear Diary, you wouldn't believe the week I've had. Sunbright and I got lost in the woods and found this awesome tunnel going down underground near the old silver mine. We're gonna turn it into our secret clubhouse. We're right next to a really cool-looking old waterfall, and the water is pure and radiation-free. We built ourselves a little place to hold our secret clubhouse meetings at, too. It's way cool. Anyways, I have to go. I'm pretty sure Mom and Dad are looking for me." I blinked. The entry mentioned another pony, a Sunbright. My thoughts on the subject were torn away by Violet and Sunshine's call.
"Star!"
Violet shouted. I looked up, seeing my laugh and the other unicorn. I flipped close the book, tucking it into my saddlebags for future perusal. Glancing down at the skeleton one more time, I sighed and made my way over to the others. Violet and Sunshine were standing next to the platform, grinning widely.
"What's up?"
I asked.
"Well, there's no way to climb all the way up there, unfortunately," Sunshine said. "And Lilith and you can't rightly carry all of us, so we've got to improvise."
She turned her attention to the green mass of vines laying at their hoofs.
"What is it?"
I said.
"A net. We're gonna carry everyone up two at a time. You and Lilith will hold the ends and lift, and I'll provide some medical energy to lighten the load," Sunshine explained. "We'll get up there in no time." "Sounds like a plan," I said. "I have to wonder, if this place was so hard to get to, how did the little pony in the shack get here?"
"Little pony?" Violet asked. I nodded, explaining about the diary and the skeleton. My mare friend grimaced at the mention of a younger pony having died down here.
"Maybe he came in from the tunnel we did," Lilith said. "I mean, it's the only level tunnel we've seen, and we didn't exactly get a good look at the surrounding area." "Makes some sort of sense," Sunshine said. "Does the diary say anything else?"
I pulled out the book and flipped it to a later entry. "Dear Diary, Sunbright got caught going into the forest by her parents. They found out about our secret clubhouse. My parents say it's too dangerous to go into the forest. I'm not even allowed to see her anymore. It's not fair. How do they know it's too dangerous? I hate them. I'm going to run away and never come back." I grimaced, turning the page to the next entry. Dear Diary, I did it. I ran away to my secret clubhouse. I tried to get Sunbright to come with me, but she couldn't get away from her parents. Her loss, really. I'm writing in you from my awesome little shack down by the water. Wait, what was that noise? It sounded like clacking. I'm going to investigate. My eyes widened as I turned to the final entry. The text appeared to be even more haphazard than the rest of the journal. A dried bloodstain appeared on the last page, darkening the paper to a reddish brown. It left the entry barely legible, but I did my best. Every night they come, and every night I hide inside the shack. I can hear them clacking loudly. It's scary. I want to go home. I want to go see Mommy and Daddy again, but I can't. If I leave, they'll get me. If any pony finds this, stay away from the water. I think that's where they come from. Oh, I can hear them again. They're banging on my door. Celestia, help! I glanced over at the pool of water next to the old shack and then back at Violet, my eyes frantic with fear.
We need to get up there, now!
I shouted, closing the book and stuffing it into my saddlebags. I unhitched Stargazer as something large broke the surface of the water. It was then that I heard it, the clacking sounds. The sounds of the waterfall had very nearly drawn them out.
Lilith, Sunshine, you start taking the others up. I'll hold them off.
Hold what?
Sunshine started to say. The words died down on her lips as the water churned, revealing the shapes of the creatures climbing out of it. Two giant crab claws served as their hands, their bodies encased in a hard shell. They walked on two legs, their red eyes glowing in the darkness. My EFS lit up with so many red dots that I couldn't even believe that there were that many of these things.
Holy jumping luna fish, Maya lurks!
I was about to ask what a Maya lurk was when the first of the crab-like monsters appeared in front of me. It dove at me with its claws seeking to impale. I snarled, holding up Stargazer to block the force of the impact driving me back.
Every pony get up and go, now!
I roared. Sunshine nodded, her horn flaring as the vines came to life. Instead of making a net, she built a solid bridge that led up to the next platform. Steeljack clambered up first, taking image of Maya lurks emerging from the pool. With a sharp series of retorts, Tempest's rifle caught three of them in their legs, temporarily disabling them but not killing them. Nixie slept next to me, slashing wildly at the one attacking me. While his claws did damage, it wasn't enough to kill the beast. Lilith soared into the air, the whine of the bitch drowning out the clacking sound of the approaching Maya lurks. She let loose, the errant missile hitting a group that was too close to Chippertune's old shack. I winced as the shack blew to bits, but knew that it was better than what happened to the younger pony. Violet galloped up the vines next, followed by Sunshine. Violet ripped Thunderflash into her magic, unleashing blast after blast of silver fire into the crowd of monsters. Sunshine's horn flared, sending several vines out to ensnare the beasts. I regarded the one in front of me. It appeared that the armor surrounding the Maya lurk was damn near impenetrable, as evidenced by Nixie's failed attempts to slash it open. I dropped into ESATS, queuing up several shots when I noticed that one of the target areas provided was a facial area that was unprotected by the beast's armor. The chance to hit it was tiny, but worth the risk as I sent the rest of my shots into that weakness. Time dropped back into being as Stargazer took aim, sending its hot molten payload of star metal into the Maya lurk's face. Green blood spurted from the beast, dropping it to the ground instantly. It didn't get back up. I grinned.
The face!
I shouted.
Aim for the face, it's not armored!
Violet nodded, taking aim and freezing for a moment as she used SATS to guide her shots. A flare of silver soared through the air, slamming into the Maya lurk she'd aimed at. The aquatic beast lit up and dissolved into a pile of silvery goop on the ground. I made my way up the vine, followed by Nixie's and nodded at Sunshine. The mare accessed her unique magic, dissipating the vine entirely and cutting off the Maya lurks from gaining access to us. I took a step back, sending a burst of fire at the closest group, pushing them back.
Shit, these things are everywhere, Violet said. It's a good thing they can't.
Her voice trailed off as the Maya lurks swamped the wall leading up to the platform and began to scale it as if it weren't even there.
Climb. Every pony fall back, next platform up!
I shouted, dropping back into ESATS, queuing up as many shots as I could as the Maya lurks climbing over the top of the platform. Time fell back into place and those same beasts went soaring off the side, spewing forth their green lifeblood. Sunshine made her way up to the next platform, her horn igniting and sending up another set of vines. Lilith hovered in the air, sending missile after missile into the crowd of monsters. Nixies and Steeljack charged up the vines after Sunshine, while Violet and I made our way after them. The Maya Lurks found new ground on the platform, their numbers teeming.
"Just how many of these things are there?"
I thought, grimacing. Even if we made it to the tunnel, the Maya Lurks would follow, and then we'd be sitting ducks for them. I growled, sending another spray of bullets into an approaching Maya Lurk, knocking it back into its fellow monsters. We needed an out, and we needed one fast. We were only halfway to the ceiling, but I could see the platform leading to the tunnel of this cavern quite clearly. I grinned.
"I've got an idea," I called out. "Lilith, you get ready to fire at the ceiling. We're gonna bring down the house on these bastards."
Lilith saluted.
"The rest of us, I'm gonna teleport us up to that platform."
"Oh no," Violet said. "Not this again." I flared my horn, going through the motions of casting a teleportation spell. A flash of purple echoed across the platform, enveloping myself and my friends as we disappeared and reappeared on the upper platform. I motioned to Lilith.
"Now!"
I shouted. Lilith grinned, tearing down into a dive. She spun about in mid-air, firing two missiles from the bitch upwards, striking the ceiling of the cave. The gems embedded there began to drop, smashing into the crowd of Maya Lurks below. Lilith flew through the falling debris, weaving and bobbing until she landed on the platform next to us. Roars and clacking sounds could be heard from below us as the Maya Lurks scattered to avoid getting turned into paste. We didn't wait around long enough to see what would happen next. We charged down the next tunnel with wild abandon, panting hard as we found ourselves in another set of caverns. A loud crash echoed from behind us.
"That ought to keep those things busy," I said.
Violet grimaced.
"I thought we talked about the whole mass teleport thing," she said.
I grinned widely and gave her a wink, turning my attention to the new cavern. I blinked. Where the previous chamber was made mostly of gemstone and rock, this chamber had grass and plants in it. The air here was nearly tropical, and there was an overabundance of flowers and colorful trees. It brought to light one very big question.
"Celestia's plot, how big is this place?"
I exclaimed. At the very least, the light was brighter here. I looked up, seeing the reason why. Bulbs of pulsing light dotted the cave's ceiling like hanging fruits. I realized that there were plants too, like everything else here.
"It's pretty," Violet said. "But like everything else in this place, I'm sure there's something dangerous here."
I nodded, flipping my EFS back on. There was a smattering of red dots in the area. I relayed this information to the others.
"We should move quickly and cautiously," I said. "There's gotta be an exit out of here that leads up. If we keep moving up, we'll break out of the underground for sure."
We started walking, surrounded by a miniature forest inside a cave inside a forest. It was surreal. I wasn't quite sure how the plant life had even survived down here, but it thrived like nothing else I'd ever seen. The flora around us appeared to have adapted to cave dwelling, their stalks lined with thorny protrusions meant to fend off creatures that would eat them. I had to wonder what would attack such beautiful flowers. We made it halfway through the jungle, taking care to keep an eye on the red dots on EFS. I couldn't tell where they were, which made it infinitely more difficult to remain vigilant against any threats. Were they hiding in the foliage, making ready to ambush us? A few times I thought I saw movement, but it was just plants moving. I looked to Sunshine.
"Sunshine?"
I said. The pink mare glanced up at me inquisitively.
"Can you see about, you know, whatever it is you do with plants?"
"My earth magic,"
Sunshine said. I nodded. A smart pony I was not sometimes. The unicorn knelt for a moment next to a plant, her horn glowing softly as she cast her earth spell. Her eyes widened as she cut off the spell.
"We've got to move. Big problem."
"What is it?"
I said. Sunshine stood, starting forward.
"The plants here, there..."
she started to say, stopping cold in her tracks as one of the flowery plant stalks turned about, revealing a fleshy bulb. The head of the plant opened, displaying a row of shiny, jagged teeth.
"Alive!"
The monstrous plant reeled back, ejecting a blob of green goo from its maw that barely missed us. It hit the ground with a sizzling sound that made me cringe. I unhitched Stargazer, blasting away at the stalk. The bullets tore away at the plant, causing it to hiss and howl as it fell away. A growling sound alerted me to a strange-looking green monster that lopped on four legs that had appeared out of the foliage.
It charged at us, its moss-covered claws reaching for me. Sunshine's horn flared, bringing up a group of vines that wrapped around the monster's arm, twisting it back and breaking it in half. The creature grunted as it fell to the ground, snarling and snapping. I responded with a swift forekick to its head, splattering green blood all over. Three more of the creatures popped up, swarming around us. Steeljack twirled, firing off blast after blast from Tempest's rifle, tearing through one of the monster's torsos, while Violet floated Thunderflash up. My love snarled with steel in her eyes, sending a steady stream of silvery fire at another. Nixies and Lilith took point on the third, the Pegasus sending the thing into the Hellhound's sharp claws with a well-placed buck.
"We need to keep moving,"
I called out, knowing full well that forward was the only viable pass. The cavern behind us was still teeming with Maya lurks, if any had survived at all. It was also pretty well collapsed. As much as I hated to admit it, we had to go deeper into this little forest in order to escape. I just hoped there was an escape. A dead end was not what I wanted to see at this juncture. My hoofs moved before my brain did, carrying me along beside the others. We had pissed off this place something fierce, and it was doing its very best to take its revenge. The underground jungle wasn't just a jungle, it was a self-contained environment that had bred creatures tailor-made to defend it. It did what Everfree did best, it adapted to change without fail. More of the spitter plants popped up as we ran, firing their acidic payload our way. The ground heaved behind us, another one of the green spore monsters popping out of the soil. It snarled and gave chase until a wall of vines appeared, blocking it. Sunshine panted hard, her horn glowing. I grimaced, recognizing that look. Magical burnout. She'd been susceptible to it before. Still, she shrugged it off and kept running, her eyes glancing about frantically.
"To the left,"
she shouted, indicating a fork in the underground jungle pass. We followed her, trusting in her earth-based magic to tell us where to go. We struck hard rock, reaching a part of the clearing that held very little foliage other than a giant bulb in the center of it. My eyes lit up, seeing a tunnel leading up at the far end of the clearing.
"There!"
I exclaimed. I started forward, stopping cold as I felt the ground beneath me begin to shake and turn. A gigantic red blip appeared on my EFS, and I jumped out of the way just in time before a massive vine-like head broke through the rock. Its body was much like a snake's, long and slender with a large snapping head at the end of it. The monstrous thing roared loudly, searching about for prey. I noticed briefly that it had no eyes, sort of like a worm. Its teeth, however, were razor sharp and gleaming with murderous intent. I looked up at the beast and shuddered.
"Well, now I've seen everything this place has to offer,"
Lilith said bluntly from behind me.
"Can we go home now?"
"I'm off for home,"
Sunshine said.
"And I like plants."
I grimaced. The giant worm-like beast turned its attention towards us, its jaw flinging drool as it snapped at us. My horn flared, bringing forth Shining Armor's shield spell. The monster's mouth wrapped around the shield like a bubble, squeezing hard. Despite the force, it held. I called forth more magic from my horn, expanding the shield quickly, forcing the plant creature to pull away. It roared loudly. I knew I had to come up with something, anything, a plan formed in my mind.
"Every pony, make your way to the tunnel. Lilith, you and I are going to keep our friend a little busy,"
I said, flapping my wings and lifting into the air. The black mare nodded and followed suit. The giant worm thing began tracking me instantly. I wondered how it knew where I was without eyes, but I didn't have time to think about it as it lunged at me. I dodged to the side, barely missing being snapped in two. The monster reeled back for another strike. I gratefully acknowledged that the others hadn't argued and were making their way across the cave towards the tunnel. This thing was far too big to get through the entrance, and I doubted that we could kill it. Distracting it was the only viable play.
"Hey, ugly!"
Lilith shouted, catching the attention of the monster.
"Betcha can't catch me!"
The warm beast roared, spinning around to try and attack the little lice Pegasus, who merely spun into a loop around the thing's head every time it came near. The ground beneath us rumbled, and I realized this wasn't going to be as easy a plan as it sounded in my head. Several of the green spore creatures detached from the main bulb of the worm beast, heading towards my friends. Nixies met them head-on, his razor-sharp claws slicing limbs off the plant-based things. Steeljack was right beside him, using a combination of straight-up earth pony bucking and Tempest's rifle to take down any opposition. Violet and Sunshine galloped behind them, the silvery blasts of Thunderflash working in tandem with Sunshine's earth magic.
"They'll be all right,"
I muttered to myself, more for my own worries than anything. I still had a job to do. The worm monster was still focused on Lilith, the black mare leading it on a wild goose chase that it simply just couldn't win. Still, eventually she was going to get tired and I needed to help pick up the slack. I grinned, unlatching Stargazer and sending a stream of bullets along the body of the beast. Plant matter blew out from the holes it made, sending the creature into a frenzy as it stopped attacking Lilith and began coming after me again. I flapped my wings, sending myself up near the ceiling as the worm attacked. My horn glowed and I teleported to the other side of the room next to Lilith as the beast struck the ceiling. One of the light pots that had been hanging exploded in a ball of fiery gas, causing the monster to reel back in what sounded like a cry of pain. I glanced over at Lilith.
"You thinking what I'm thinking?"
I said, grinning. Lilith nodded, her face hidden behind its visor. She pointed up at the other pots on the ceiling.
"Keep him busy while I work."
The black mare took off like a rocket, hitting the long body of the worm with a slash of her bladed wings. The recovering beast snapped like a flytrap, reaching up out to attack. I soared above the battle, keeping a close eye on Lilith as she waved in and out of the monster's lunges. I aimed Stargazer, sending out a spray of fire that cut as many light pots away from the ceiling as I could. They fell down, hitting the unsuspecting worm beast like lead balls. The monster roared as the pots exploded, splattering the surrounding area with green goop. I flew down, the worm creature whipping about erratically as Lilith soared away from it. I glanced down at where the others were, noting that they had made it to the tunnel entrance and were now defending it against a veritable wave of spore creatures. I landed, bringing my forehoofs down on one of the things, smashing its head into a puddle of goo. Lilith landed next to me.
"Let's get moving while that thing is busy," she said.
The giant worm monster was still thrashing about, its throes now clearing away any approaching spore creatures as it slammed into them. I spun about, yanking out Stargazer again and firing a burst into a few that made it through. They fell to the ground instantly. I turned back and followed the others as we made our way through the tunnel. I took up the rear, backing up as I kept Stargazer trained down the tiny area. Thankfully, no more spore creatures followed. I suspected that once we'd moved beyond their area, that they would give up. I didn't exactly know how I knew that, but it helped me breathe easier. The tunnel took a sharp incline up and a gentle breeze told us we were getting closer to the exit. Finally, after several agonizing minutes, we broke out of the side of the mountain, finding ourselves in a beautiful glade under a starry sky. The night sky was gorgeous, filled with thousands of stars. Not only that, the glade looked calm. Nothing could be heard other than the sounds of insects. I sighed, slumping to my haunches.
"We need to rest," Violet proclaimed. "This looks about as safe as anywhere can be considered in this place. We'll each take a watch."
She dug into her saddlebags, pulling out a few healing potions, distributing them to the others. I took one and drank in deeply, feeling far better. I was sore from all the flying, my wings still not feeling like it was up to the strenuous activities I'd been putting it through. I slumped next to where Sunshine sat, noting that she was holding her hoof to her horn. Violet sat on the other side of her, administering some medics and working her over with her minor healing spell.
"Are you all right?"
I said. Sunshine nodded, wincing.
"It happens from time to time," she said. "Burnout in my family, it's a pretty common thing, actually." "You need to be more careful," Violet said. "Overuse of magic can damage your horn, not to mention your nervous system."
Sunshine smiled.
"Thanks," she said. "I guess I didn't realize how much trouble you guys get into."
I chuckled.
"Yeah, trouble always seems to follow us,"
I replied.
"More like follows you," Violet said, rolling her eyes. "Still, you should be okay. You need to rest. We all do."
I nodded, turning over and laying my head on the ground. I looked up at the stars briefly before sleep took me.